Yeah, hi, it's Rob Tindall, CEO of Transatlantic Mining. Ticker code is TCO on the TSXV.
So how's things at TCO? What's the 30,000 foot view look like?
It looks good. I think it's exciting. We're moving into a really interesting phase with production imminent. We've got a new project which we're very excited about, and there's a real air of optimism, I think, generally across gold markets and silver markets. So, we're very encouraged.
We're in the throes of talking to different financiers around a number of different options for the company. We're now underground and we are physically actually driving decline. We've got some low-grade rock sitting on a stockpile, and we've got our own mill. So we should be pouring and having some form of production in June, and we're looking to be cash flow positive by late July at the latest.
So for the uninitiated, for those who have never heard of Transatlantic before, what's your elevator pitch?
We're producers. We're moving to production. We are miners. The team is built on the background of world-class mining guys. The focus is definitely on expanding in the future, but our near-term focus really is to have a production asset and get to a cash flow positive position. There is some things with our business that is a little bit different, and it's, for some investors, it's a little bit difficult to get their head around. We don't actually have a physical resource on our balance sheet, so we don't have an inferred resource. We do have historical production records. We do have some historical drill holes, but we've also got the experience in-house to be confident that what we're doing and the way we're doing it will reap better benefit for shareholders than spending all the money drilling holes.
That's certainly a tactic that a few have employed recently. Do you think that there's validity to the thinking that it makes sense sometimes to just go for a nice small dig rather than spending 3 or 4 years trying to prove out a $300 million mine?
Yeah, look, I definitely think it's a completely subjective thing. Certain ore bodies or certain deposits, I think, give way to, an understanding up front where you can have a reasonable level of confidence that as a board you can prudently decide to go in and look for some near-term production, whereas I think other assets, you just simply can't do that. And I know there's certainly examples where guys have gone in and looked to mine, maybe not with sufficient information, and the outcomes weren't so good. We're not saying that we're 100% right here. There is still a level of risk, and investors should understand that risk very clearly. There is not a resource on the balance sheet at this point in time, but we do have a drill rig on site, and we will be sticking holes in this thing. We've got a team and we've got a level of confidence at the board level to think that the strategy that we're employing is the right one.
What is it going to take for you beyond what you already have to get to production?
Look, we need $1.1 million. That is the full CapEx for the US grant project. That includes drilling to define a resource. That includes a new ball mill, which would actually take us to 300 tons a day in terms of capacity. And that includes the full decline development down onto what we refer to as the four level, which is effectively the ore body that sits in the footwall of the three level. Mm-hmm. Now, that ore body we still haven't put holes in to understand. And that's the risk that the business is taking at this point in time. Does that extend at depth? We're reasonably confident it does, but that is certainly the risk from an investor's perspective.
So for $1.1 million, you can get to, basically for the price of a two-bedroom condo downtown in Vancouver, you can get yourselves to production.
Absolutely.
Pretty small risk to take, considering even when you get a large resource in there, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to get to the same place to really arc things up. Have you, as a group, employed a similar tactic before? Have you got a track record of doing similar things?
Yeah, look, probably the best reference is our chairman, Bernie Sostak. Bernie was formerly head of resources and reserves at Barrick, based up in Toronto, so he was responsible for putting
basically putting ounces on the balance sheet of all their mines globally. Bernie was then, moved off into the junior world and helped with the initial start-up of Northern Star Resources out of Australia. I think everyone's familiar with the Northern Star story, but when mm-hmm. Bernie joined with Bill and the team, I think the market cap was probably somewhere around $1 million, and you can see where it is today. So mm-hmm. yeah, the guys have a really strong track record. I mean, the two other executives on the board, Steve Hodgson was formerly the head of alumina and bauxite at Rio Tinto. He's also ran their diamond business. He's currently a director with Rusal over in Europe. Mike Humes has run some of the biggest mines on earth, including the GM at Octeti in PNG. So, yeah, he was also an MD for Barrick out in Australia, looking after their operations out there. So these guys are world class. They have mm-hmm. an extensive track record. And, the real focus, though, is Bernie's expertise. And then, that's what we're relying on when we make decisions around mining. We're relying on his geological skill and certainly his belief and the board's belief is that, the strategy we're employing and the path we're going down is the right one for shareholders.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of historic data that you have on site, has the area been a producer before?
Yeah, look, so the older Gulch region, so the US Grant Mine is actually the original place where gold was discovered in Montana.
Okay.
The original mining lease on the US Grant was actually signed by Ulysses Grant,
who
went on to become president of the United States. So it was the original mining license in Montana.
Okay.
So it's got, the mine itself has some historical significance. The region has produced around about 9 million ounces of alluvial gold
mm-hmm.
out of around about 1,500 high-grade veins that are known in the district. And the patch we have, the patented ground that we have there, we're certainly aware that there's around about 4 or 5 veins that exist on our block. And, we're yet to sort of spend any time or money really understanding what they look like, but certainly in the future we'll start to look at how we develop those and what they actually look like.
Mm-hmm. So you've got 3 projects I see underfoot. Is all the focus on the one, or are you still exploring the others?
Yeah, look, the Monitor Copper Gold Project in Idaho is, I guess, the original project of Transatlantic. The farm-in with Amcor there has been completed, so we're now up to 80% on that farm-in. We will focus on Montana for the coming months. We want to get cash flow. We want to get a production profile and get cash flow. The Monitor project is really exciting. I mean, there's news releases that we brought out previously that show we are sitting on what is a fairly high-grade copper-gold project. It requires a lot of drilling and a lot of underground development to really define and understand what the resource looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But as a team, we're very excited by it. And it adds to our district play. Being up there in the sort of Coeur d'Alene Valley and in Montana, we're starting to develop a district play where we're getting really good teams of people. And we're getting good working relationships, importantly, with regulators and forestry.
So tell me, in raising the million that you need, what's that like? What form is that likely to take? Are you going on a private placement, or do you have investors looking in, or what's the story?
I think we'll do a private placement initially. We have got a number of financing options which are on the table and being reviewed, which
mm-hmm.
include production streaming arrangements. Obviously, because we don't have a resource, the cost of some of those are fairly significant.
Mm-hmm.
So, the board is weighing up some financing decisions. We do have a number of different options. And what we're trying to ascertain is what is the best way to basically finance the project in the short term that will give long-term shareholder benefit.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the potential that someone's going to come along with gold to where it is and say, oh, this is nice and cheap, I'll just take this? I mean, certainly we saw with Kaminak just yesterday pulling $500 million out of a giant. That usually is the beginning of acquisition season.
Yeah, look,
we would probably be a very strategic acquisition for M&A. The team, the projects, the intellectual property that sits within the group is significant, but the existing projects and the existing strategy, we think can add significant long-term shareholder benefit. But look, we are held fairly tight by shareholders, and any approval for any deal would have to be very compelling for our shareholders to accept it or for us to, as a board, to recommend it.
In a business that for the last several years, and for some that's the life of their existence in the business, has been very much on the downturn, how did you manage to survive those times?
We were very fortunate to have quality investors who understand mining and understand cycles. They supported the team. And look, the management team effectively for a long period of time worked for equity. Mm-hmm. So the management team has a lot of skin in the game and really believe in the team and the projects. So, yeah, we've been very fortunate with our investor base and, you know, they're very loyal shareholders. So, that certainly has been the key to our...
And now they get to reap the benefits as you zero in on a place that not many juniors are going to touch for quite some time.
Yeah. No, and look, that's certainly the hope, is that, you know, the shareholder value over the next, 6 months should be realised in spades with, a production outcome and, hopefully minimal dilution unless we're looking at expanding and acquiring new projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're from Australia originally?
I am. I'm actually based out of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I'm a Sydney boy, so we can't talk anymore.
Which part of Sydney are you from, mate?
I was born and bred on Bondi Beach.
Mate, I was born and bred in Cronulla.
Cronulla? Oh, my God. Southo.
I am a Shire boy, mate.
Well, I guess we can talk a little bit then. How do you find yourself in transitioning from the Australian scene, which is a little bit different from the Canadian venture scene, to the Great North?
Yeah, look, I really like North America at the moment. I think North America is full of opportunity, whereas I think the Australian gold story has probably been picked apart because of the Aussie dollar over the last few years. It's probably been, one of those havens that a lot of investors have looked at to get some benefit in gold. Whereas I think North America was largely, I wouldn't say forgotten, but there's certainly more opportunity up here. Mm-hmm. The exchange itself, the regulator's been good to work with. We find the investment markets up here, they're obviously got a lot of depth, a lot of sophistication. And for a story like ours, this isn't the sort of story for the mums and dads retail investors. This is the story really more for a more sophisticated investor who probably has a good understanding of how mining works and what good teams can achieve.
So without a resource, obviously the investors are going to need some sort of reassurance that there's going to be a lot of communication coming back and forth, that as your drills press in, that there's going to be a lot of info coming back. Is that the plan?
That is, yeah. And look, if you have a look, we put a news release out late April, which had, it just was a little bit of an update on the current operations and some of the things that we're doing. Some of the features of that were the assaying on the three level along the actual ore body, along the strike of the ore body. And what it was fairly encouraging to management, because on a gold and silver basis, the gold equivalent assays coming back were really consistent along it and consistent high grade. So that was, for us, that was sort of, I guess, some reassurance that, the four level should exist. And if it does, it should hold reasonable grade. And also some of the bottle roll testing on the metallurgy was really encouraging as well. So, we've got a good plan around how we're going to execute things, and there's a lot of good things going on. But the key for us will be continue to communicate, continue to develop, and hopefully when we sort of produce our first concentrate in the coming month or so, we can get an announcement to the market, which probably is we think that will be a really good catalyst for
investors to get a greater level of confidence in what we're doing.
There is no resource, but we are, we're basically rotating on a 24-hour blast and pull shift, and, that's our focus really, is going mining. Recently, management put a fair chunk of their own capital into the project to really fund it through to this stage. And now really all it is that last drive towards what we can do. And look, we are looking for extra finance on top of that 1.1, preferably through some type of debt stream sort of arrangement, maybe after we've defined some sort of resource. And that would be used, obviously, to expand our footprint and drive the development of the project from, 20,000 ounces over the next 12 months to 50,000 ounces next year. The mill we've got's probably replacement value is probably about 5 million, maybe 6 million. The key with the mill is in Montana, there's only 4 mills that are actually grandfathered for the use of cyanide. This mill is actually one of them. So, we've got one of the mills in a state where there's no cyanide. There's another mill next door, which we're looking to do a lease agreement on. And hopefully in the future, we can actually tie up a deal with this guy. The other mill in the district that's huge and is probably going to be very underutilized is Golden Sunlight with Barrick. We're obviously, we'd like to sit down and talk to them about maybe utilising some of their capacity or maybe even doing some sort of deal on that particular mine, because we know Barrick want out, and we think that we could probably do a reasonable job of actually mining it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate the intro, and we'll keep a good eye on Transatlantic as we move forward. Maybe we'll catch up in another quarter or so and see what your progress is.
Mate, I appreciate that. Thanks, Chris.
Anytime. No problem. And go Roosters.